Again, Viña Iglesia de Cristianos, welcome. Thank you for joining us today and for preparing a meal for all of us today. I'm looking forward to that. But before we get into that word, to that food, we're going to eat from the Word of God today. So may we fill up on the Word. This morning I'm going to finish up on the book of Acts. We've only been doing this for a little over a year now. Hey, it's a long book, 28 chapters. And I really didn't want to end there, but that's where Luke stops. And yet the book of Acts continues to go on because Acts is really what? A call to spirit living, and that call is still out to us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. That call to live according to God's Spirit. So here is Paul. Paul has been shipwrecked on the island of Malta along with the other 275 other survivors. He has gotten favor from Publius, one of the most wealthy and very influential men of the islands. And he has enjoyed his company. They have stayed from this shipwreck that they experienced. They have stayed on the island of Malta now for 3 months. And the winter seas have finally died down, and so sailing is once again a good thing to do. There's an Alexandrian ship, much like the one that the waves destroyed that they had been on, that is in another bay. And it has wintered there on Malta as well. Its ship and its crew hanging out. And Paul and the rest of his acquaintances, the rest of the people, the rest of the soldiers, the other sailors, are all invited to get upon this Alexandrian ship. And again, this Alexandrian ship had a crew of 276 people altogether. So you can imagine now how crowded the Alexandrian ship was, still full of its grain because they didn't have to bail that out, and now full of people. And they move on. They first stop is at Syracuse. And no, this is not the orange man of Syracuse, who is in battling for basketball. It was the capital of Sicily. And they stay there for a while, for 3 days. And then from there, they sailed on across. If you take out your bulletin, you have a little map there. And it kind of shows you the progress of where Paul goes from one place to the next. Of course, not just Paul, but Luke with him, because Luke has followed him all this whole time. So they sailed across to Rhegium. A day later, a south wind began blowing, so the following day, we sailed up the coast to Puteoli. There they found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters in Rome had heard we were coming, and they came to meet us at the Forum of the Appian Way. Others joined us at the Three Taverns. When Paul saw them, he was encouraged and he thanked God. Why? Well, because these people had traveled over 30 miles on foot to greet Paul, to let him know that he was welcome, that they were awaiting for him to come and minister and to talk to them about this Jesus person that they had only heard about but had not really talked with anyone who is going to be so passionate, so adamant as Brother Paul is about the truth of Jesus Christ. So when he arrives in Rome, Paul, unlike a lot of the prisoners, was given his own private lodging. though he did have a guard hanging on him at all times. In those times, they did not have the bracelets that prisoners would wear today and be out. And of course, we all know the story of a lot of that. A lot of them try to break out of that bracelet that monitors where they are at all times. But Paul had his own monitor, and his monitor was a Roman soldier who was chained to him day in and day out. Now, do you think this Roman soldier was going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah. You know, he was captured, man. You know, I don't think Paul was a prisoner. I think the Roman guard was a prisoner. And they would change out those Roman guards because it's like the other guy would go, wow, I have heard enough today. Let somebody else have a shot at this. And Paul would share with the people that would come and visit with him. After Paul was there in Rome 3 days afterwards, he made a call out to all the local Jewish leaders. And he invited them to his place, and he said, brothers, I was arrested. He wants to lay out his story. He doesn't know what they may have heard about him prior to his arrival. Because remember, there were some brothers who had shown up from Asia who had given bad report about Paul, which got him arrested in the first place. And now he was standing trial. And though the Romans could find absolutely nothing wrong with him, the Jewish brothers kept bringing these charges against Paul. And so Paul, in his own defense, said, you know what? The Lord has told me I was going to go to Rome. This is my golden ticket. I appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen. And the ones who were in charge in Caesarea just agreed. Well, they go, Paul, we had absolutely nothing against you. You could have been set free as far as we're concerned. But since you have now appealed to Caesar, you must go to Rome and present your case. And so Paul, as 3 days after he arrives, he wants to lay out his case before the Jewish brothers that are there in Rome. And so he does. He says, I was handed over to the Roman government, even though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors. The Romans tried me and wanted to release me, but they found no cause for the death sentence. But when the Jewish leaders protested the decision, I felt it necessary to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no desire to press charges against my own people. You see, it wasn't just about the Jewish people having a charge against Paul, but Paul would now have to bring a charge against his own people, not something that Paul wanted to do. He wanted this thing to just kind of all wash away, and his desire above anything else, his desire was to take the word of God, Jesus Christ, out into all lands where churches had not ever been established. He wanted to tell those people about this Jesus, their Savior, their Lord, the Son of God, who came to set men free, because we are imprisoned by our sins. But Jesus Christ can set us free. Amen? Amen? So he sits down with them and he says, I asked you to come here today so that we could get acquainted and so I could explain to you that I am bound with this chain because I believe that the hope of Israel, the Messiah, has already come. They replied, we've had no letters from Judea or reports against you from anyone who has come here. But, and this is a lovely thing, this is probably music to Paul's ears, but we want to hear what you believe. We want to hear what you believe, for the only thing we know about this movement, about this way, It is denounced everywhere. In other words, those who have heard about it have said, no, don't follow that way. So we want to hear from you, Paul. You are a servant of the Lord Most High. We want to hear from you. Why should we believe in this Jesus as the Son of God, as our Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, the Son of God, come, the Savior of the world, to die, to set free the hearts of men, to bring them into a relationship with God, as it was in the beginning, where God walked and talked with man. So it has been God's desire all along and still is today. God still wants you to walk and talk with him every day. Amen. He wants you to celebrate his presence. Not just be thinking of God as, oh, you're the judge. You're always looking for the bad things I'm doing. No. No. That is not a loving heavenly father. Does Jesus know your junk? Oh, yeah. You ain't hiding it. You think you can play hide and go seek with God, but guess what? He knows all the hiding places. And so many of them are in our hearts and in our minds. And it's God's Holy Spirit that gets in there and says, that thought is not from me. That feeling is not from me. That action is not a part of my plan for you. So please get rid of it. Because it brings no glory to my Son to have you live in this way, to have you think in this way, to have you treat others that way. I've called you to love. I've called you to love my Father with everything that you are, with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, to love God with everything. Be completely devoted to him. Don't hold anything back. Why? Because whatever you give God, so you will receive. And if you only give a little bit of yourself to God, then he's only going to give a little bit of himself to you. But be a people of the mindset that I am going to so give unto God. In fact, Corey, do you still have that scripture? No, Corey, would you come read that scripture? This comes out of Luke chapter 6. Sorry, Pastor. I know it's Sunday and you want to talk, but it's me today.
All right. Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. Do not judge others and you will not be judged.
Wait a minute. Say that again. What?
Do not judge others and you will not be judged.
Whoa. Anybody have a judgmental heart here? You need to get rid of it. That's not of God. You need to confess it right now. Before we go any farther with the Word of God. If you've got a judgmental heart, that is not from God. God's dealing with somebody in this room. Because you have long been the judge of others. You're trying to compare. Keep going.
Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you.
Whoa, wow. You ever condemned anybody? Well, that person can't possibly be a Christian. Did you see what they did? Well, they said something in error. Oh, I couldn't ever hang around somebody like that. Excuse me, but would the perfect person please stand up?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Join me, brother. Okay, there's only one perfect person that ever walked this earth. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus de Cristo. See? Wow, I'm speaking in tongues today.
All right. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven.
Oh, wow. Forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. So if you don't forgive others, what do you think will happen to you? You won't be forgiven. Let's have a Jesus moment right now. Have you judged? Have you condemned? Have you not forgiven somebody? Think about it, because God's hearing your thoughts right now. God is in your hearts. He's in your heads. He knows the truth that you're really living. Let's have a Jesus moment for right now. You are before the Lord. He knows all about you. Have you been judgmental? Have you been condemning? Have you not forgiven? Confess it to Jesus right now. Confess it. Get real with Jesus right now. Because I would dare say that there is somebody here in this room who has not done that. Let's have a Jesus moment. And what I mean by that is you let Jesus come into your thoughts, into your heart. Jesus, before you, I have to be real. Though I might put up a mask in front of people around me, with you tear that mask away. You know exactly who I am and what I thought. You know the attitudes of my heart, Lord, and I'm asking you right now, El Señor, perdóname, por favor, forgive me. Lord, for the wrong attitudes that I have allowed to invade my heart, my mind. Lord, let the word of God just wash over me as Corey continues to just read this word.
Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
There we go. So if I judge others, I'm going to be judged as harshly. If I condemn others, I'm going to be condemned. If I don't forgive others, because honestly, it's just like the day that the prostitute who was caught in the act and brought naked before Jesus with all these condemners standing around her with rocks in their hands ready to stone her because they caught her in her sin. And Jesus called them all out and he said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And the woman who was trying to hide behind her hair, not wanting the looks of the people around her who were condemning and judging her, all of a sudden started hearing thud, 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 thud. And her eyes were closed. I mean, can you imagine the embarrassment of the moment? You're brought naked before your accusers. Until finally, there's only one voice that she hears. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, where are your accusers?" And she finally has the strength to lift her head up and to start looking around. And it's just her and Jesus. Just like I want you to have a Jesus moment. It's just you and Jesus. Walk with him. Talk with him. Live life with him. Stop living against him. And live in the fullness of his presence in your life every day. Oh, Pastor, you're asking me to get real religious. No, I'm not asking you to get religious. I'm asking you to get into a love relationship with God like you've never had before. I'm daring you to love God with everything you are. And as you give yourself to God, he will give himself back to you. Poured into, shaken, running over. He will bless you if you will bless him with your life. But there are some of you that are hard cases, and you're not alone. Because listen to what Paul had to say. These people kept coming to where Paul was living. And he explained and testified about the kingdom of God. And he tried to persuade them about Jesus from the scriptures. Using the law of Moses and the books of the prophets, he spoke to them from morning until evening. Guess what? You better sit down. He spoke with them from morning until evening. Pastor, you got an hour. If you ain't got it done by an hour, I'm out of here. Sorry, you got that time limit. But listen to this. Some were persuaded by the things that he said, but others did not believe. You see, that same thing's going to happen here in this place. Some are going to be persuaded by the truth of God's word. Some are going to leave here never believing. And you've got to understand the Jewish mindset. You know, when someone comes and they propose an argument or put out a truth that they have never heard before, this is what they do. They sit down and they talk it out with each other. Does this reason with you? Do you think this sounds all right? What? Well, he said this. Do you think that was correct? Well, I remember the scriptures that said this and that. And, well, nothing that he said really contradicts what the Word of God said. He tried to reason with us. He didn't argue with us. Why are we arguing amongst ourselves?
Because we're silly.
They argued back and forth amongst themselves. And they left with this final word from Paul. The Holy Spirit was right when he said to your ancestors through Isaiah the prophet. Now, Paul is talking about a man who wrote a book of the Bible over 700 years earlier. And Paul is bringing up, this is his closing argument before them. Go and say to this people, when you hear what I say, you'll not understand. No comprende. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and the ears cannot hear. For they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me, and let me heal them. You see, we are all in need of a healing. We are all
a bunch of sick people.
All of us have been sick. For as Paul wrote in the book of Romans, all have sinned and fall way short of the glory of God. We have an illness. We have a disease. It's called sin, and we harbor it. We like it. Oh, I like being a bad boy.
Oh, I like being a bad girl.
And God says, really? That's fun for you? Oh, yeah, because the rest of the world, they're all having fun, and I want to have fun like the rest of them. And God says, you know what? I've got a lot of angels and people that have gone before you as witnesses that there is no greater joy than the joy of my presence that lasts not just for the moment, but for the eternity. Will you not accept the joy that lasts forever instead of the temporary, oh, let me get this fixed now, let me get this fixed now. Oh, man, that drunk last night was really good, wasn't it? I did some really stupid things. I'm not really proud of a couple of those things today. We need to have a Jesus moment every day, every hour. It's not just, hey, I'm going to come to Sunday morning, I'm going to feel really good, and I'm going to tell everybody, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I mean, honestly, how many of us would hang around the brother or the sister that came up and, hey, how you doing? Man, I've had a real trial this week. Oh, you know, you need to go pray with Pastor Don or Suzanne. Right? We don't want to hear people's bad news. We think that everybody just wants to hear the good news. Well, guess what? You belong to a church that wants to hear the bad news as well. We want to walk alongside of you, both in the good times and the bad times. We want to encourage you. We want to strengthen you. We want to build you up in your most holy faith. Will you just allow honesty between us? What was that word you used, Pastor? You want me to be honest with you? Yeah, more importantly, I want you to be honest with God. Because he sees your every thought. He knows your name. He sees your every action, folks. Every one of them. You need to have Jesus moment all the time. Paul says, so I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it. See, Paul did the thing that God told him to do in the first place. He took the message first to the Jew. And as they closed their hearts to it, he took it now to the Gentile. And Paul is revved up. He's like, yes, this is what I want. I want people who will listen, who will accept it. You know what breaks a pastor's heart more than anything else? Is that he gets up here and all of his passion and all of his study and all the things that he feels like God has given to him to speak to the people of today. And those people reject it. They go away not even hearing it. Or they go away going, gee, Pastor, you're sure condemning today. You're sure judgmental. You're sure pretty hard on us today. How hard do you think it's going to be when you stand before God Almighty? How harsh is that going to be? When all of your sins that you've done in this life are all of a sudden brought out for everybody to look at them. What? And Jesus, your lawyer, stands up. He says, Father, my blood, because they have believed in me, my blood satisfies their sins before you. But woe to those, who will never confess their sins, who will never be honest with God, who won't be honest with your own brothers and sisters and say, you know what? I am declaring, how many of you took part in this Lord's Supper this morning? You are declaring Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Then show it by the way you live. Show it by your service to the church. Don't have everybody trying to have to reach out and do for you. You reach out and do for the church. You make the church better. I only have so much time, so many abilities. And some of you are going, yeah, one of them ain't to preach, buddy. Why don't you give that up to somebody else? Because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach good news.
Amen.
To speak healing to the brokenhearted. Luke concludes his book with these words. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. Even if I get arrested for my beliefs, I will proclaim Jesus Christ. Because if I get arrested, it's because God wanted me to be arrested. Because He needed the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into that place. He needed my hope, my faith, to reach out to others. It is no longer I who live in this body. It is Christ Jesus who lives in and through me to tell the rest of the world, you know what? There's a Messiah who came and died for your sins and mine. And He wants to welcome you into His family. And His family is going to be so multicolored, so multicultural, just like we are this morning. What a great celebration. What a great time of coming together as a family and worshiping together. God bless Mountain Valley Church of God. God bless Viña Iglesia de Cristianos. Thank you for coming and being a part of our family. We welcome you, all of you. And we want to get to know you as well as we hope you want to get to know us. And thank you for your pastor's heart, who had that desire in the first place to come and to celebrate together. But not only that, your pastor has a great desire, like Paul, to reach those who have yet to hear the message of Jesus Christ. So, Pastor Gabriel, would you come up and tell us what this luncheon is all about?
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, buddy.
Pastor Don, can you come, Pastor Don, and read one inscription in English? I read it in Spanish and English.
We'll try.
All right.
What? That's all in Spanish, dude.
No, you in English and I in Spanish.
Okay, where are we at?
Or you want me in English and you in Spanish?
that'd be an adventure, wouldn't it? Huh?
All right. Romans
11?
10?
10, okay.
12. No hay diferencia entre griegos y gentiles, pues el Señor es Señor de todos y bendice abundantemente a cuantos le invocan. Porque todo el que invoque el nombre del Señor será salvo. Ahora bien, ¿cómo invocarán aquel en quien no han creído? ¿Y cómo creerán en aquel que no han oído? ¿Y cómo oirán si no hay quien les predique? ¿Y quién predicará sin ser enviado? Así está escrito. Qué hermoso es recibir el mensajero que trae buenas nuevas.
To the 12, to the...
Yeah, I got it.
15.
Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord. Hispanic, whitey, we are the same in the respect that we have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Did I do okay in English?
Perfect.
One of my strong languages,
great,
buddy.
Tuve el privilegio de ir al pueblo donde nací. I have a great honor and privilege to go to my town where I born. And my heart started bumping because I love to share the gospel. It's my passion. God called me to do that. I moved to this area in 1996 with my lovely wife, Aloisa. When it was not a lot of Hispanic, you know, just few, but I got that challenge to move by faith, and I'm still living by faith and proclaim the news of the gospel. And when I went to my town, that's my little town, and that's my grandpa house, and I put all those people together, and I say I'm gonna preach the gospel. And it was a blessing to be in there. So I'm going back, and with my family, my wife, my two kids, I'm going to take my father and my mom who born in there. That's Zacatecas, Mexico. It's like 30 hours driving from here. So we're going to drive. That's my grandpa. He's he almost 90, 92. And he's very healthy. I guess that's me. that was a meeting there. I don't know. Can you pass those more pictures in there? There is kids that we always, when we go, we give candies, or we give clothes, or whatever we can take, you know. And they're very happy. There is a team in there. I was playing with those guys when I was there. You know, when I born, actually, when I was in that little town living in there, we always love soccer. You know, that's our passion. In that little town, they like here. You know, football, it's like life football, right? Cardinals, go Cardinals! It's like our life, you know. But over there, it's soccer. So where's the soccer guys? Well, anyways. Last time I went already two times, and then I purchased those t-shirts, you know, and give it to them, to the each guys, and they very happy. They, you know, I mean, like crazy. So, and they play in the nice fields. You can see, you know, it's just dirt, but they love it. They love it. Okay, next. That's the streets of my love. Lovely and beautiful town. When I go those streets, I cry and I pray for my town. That's the White House. We call it the White House, but that's not the White House. It's just what the major, you know, the little town, you know. And there, in that area, we wanna put this time the group, the musicians that we're going like around like 12 or 13 people together. And we're going to have an event in there. I have also a person from Phoenix who is my friend, and he's a ministry with kids, and he's a crown. He went to the school to learn how to be, you know, crown. Yeah, so he's going to be with us too, and we're going to have food
for them, you know, and we're gonna have a service 2 days, Friday. Help me. you March the 16th and the 7th. Yeah, Friday and Saturday. This month. So next week, actually, Sunday is 12. Yeah, Sunday is 12. We live in the 13th, right? So, and it's going to be, that's the placita, the jardín, the little placita. And in front of that little thing, it's where it's the White House, you know, the White House. So that's the street. That's where we're going, you know, and I asked Pastor Dan, you know, to have a dinner together, and then if you can help support, you know, this trip, it's a challenge. We move by faith. Like when Pastor Harry, hi, hello. I love you, brother. I love you with all my heart. He one day he says, I think Gabriel, it's time to open a Spanish ministry here. And I said, no, I don't think so. Because, you know, we always trying to run, you know, from the calling. We always trying to run. But he insists and say, I think it's time. And I say, yeah, I think it's time. So can you give a big applause to Pastor Harry? Yeah, yes, 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 yes. Before I leave, I'm going to preach and finish with the couple who's going to marry 65 years anniversary. They give me the privilege. And this pastor, to me, it's something special also. And I'm going to explain, like I say, Pastor Harry right now. I mean, you plant in my heart something. And that's going to continue, you know, to reach people what the words you plant in me. And I, Pastor Ron, it's going to be the same to you. You and you guys, church, mountain, valle. The same. I mean, we're going there, but I know your prayers and your hearts go with us. And I know we're not alone. I know we're not doing this alone. We have a pastor who prays for us, people who loves us. And it's not easy. Last time it was the cartels in there, and they went and do around in the plaza when we was preaching, and they you can see with the big, you know, pistolas, rifles. I know you love guns, you know, all those kind of guns that we love here. And it was dangerous. It's not easy because in the night they stop each car, you know, and we don't know if they are police, good police, or we don't know what's the difference. So we always be pray, you know, pray. So pray for us because we're going to take the bus, we're going the Greyhound to El Paso, and then from there to a little town with my family and my kids. So pray for us. Pray for us. That's very important. And we prepare the meal here. And you can, we're not charging, you know, it's offering. If you want to bless, you know, bless the ministry, that's welcome. We prepare some chile rellenos and enchiladas. That's right. Yeah, enchiladas. Tortas. Ooh, tortas. Now she's talking something serious. Tortas. The lengua.
Hello, Bishop. Sus.
As per requested, we believe in the power of prayer.
Amen. We do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on over here, buddy. Brother Harry, would you lead us out in a prayer of protection for Gabriel and his ministry? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we believe in the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
The kingdom is with you in charge. Mm-hmm. And we do the things that you call us to do. Yes, and they're going to Mexico. Mm-hmm. They're going to lead people to Christ.
Yes.
They're going to encourage brothers and sisters that are there. Mm-hmm. They're going to show what it's like to be Christians and not cartel. Mm-hmm. They're going to show what it's like to stand for Christ and not for the things that destroy. Mm-hmm. We bless you, God. Mm-hmm. Give them safety. Get them back here in the right appropriate time so they can go down there at the right appropriate time. With the end result being this, Lord, we want to encourage, we want to bless, we want to see the kingdom of God grow. We want to see it grow at Mountain Valley. We want to see it grow in Lavinia. We want to see it grow in the church here in our towns. We want to see the kingdom all around the world. We bless you, Father. This is a privilege. This is like Paul going to Rome. This is like us standing up for our faith. This is the understanding that what you called us to be is the Christians in a world that need Christ. Jesus, thanks for dying for us. Thanks for living for us. Thanks for cheering for us right now. Thanks for letting us be part of something that has things that are bigger than us in it. These are the things of the Christ. We honor you, Jesus. And we're going to be grateful for the results. And when kingdom of God comes in its fullness, and we stand there before you, and we know what forgiveness is all about, and we see more and more people there because some of us stood up for you at this time in our life, Lord, we're just making the kingdom of God bigger. Bring in lots of people, Jesus. Because what makes this world wonderful is Christ in us.
Yes.
We say thank you, Jesus, in your name. Bless Gabriel, Eloisa, their kids, the church, this church, and all peoples who stand for the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Sunday 12, we keep going to preach there, and we leave maybe in the afternoon. Okay. Monday.
Okay.
Well, Pastor Gabriel, and Mountain Valley, something that I want to let you know, our very spirit-led board, Dan McGarry standing back there with the offering, Dan Houghton, Corey Searing, these guys move by the Spirit of God, and I got to let you understand, church, that we tithe off our tithe. And what I mean is 10% of the tithes that this church receives, we pay that back out. 3% of it goes to our national Church of God, 3% to our state Church of God, and 4% we normally give to a ministry locally so that we have a presence here in this area that we are having an influence over. And the Holy Spirit led our board to agree that we wanted to have that 4% go to Gabriel. To let you know that we not only will pray for you, but we love and support you in the right way, which is fiscally. And we're going to all go down and enjoy a meal here in just a minute, but Pastor Allen's going to come forward, and he's going to give us some announcements and tell us what's going on. And as Gabriel and Eloisa go down to Mexico to minister to the people that God has ready for them, so Suzanne and I are also this next few days, we're going to go on a nice, needed vacation. However, we have some exciting things happening here while we are gone. Next Sunday, Jeffrey Cran from Chosen People Ministries will be coming here to speak about the Messiah in the Passover. And I hope you're excited about that and that you're going to bring others in here and fill this place up like we're filled up today.